Right, toss one. These images are generally said to have been invented by a 16th century painter from Bologna who said that the task of creating these images was exactly the same as the task of the classical artist. One of these images depicts a bunch of people at a table snoring at Samuel Taylor as Coleridge talks and appears in the collection The Poet's Corner. More than 1,000 of these images, many of them drawn by Alex Gard, adorn the walls of Sardi's restaurant in Manhattan. Aubrey Beardsley is...
They're just characters.
What?
I said characters.
Say that one more time.
Caricatures.
Yes, okay. Oh, yeah. I did not hear that middle syllable.
Yeah. Be pretty funny if it just turned out I didn't know what that word. That would be funny. Characters.
Tessa. An editor discouraged the use of this pen... note to players. Specific answer required. An editor discouraged the use of this pen name, saying it was too fussy and too similar to the name of the fictional romance novelist Rosie in the works of P.G. Wodehouse. This pen name is a reference to the name that the author's parents would have given him if his father hadn't messed up the birth registration. In a novel published under this pen name, a pirate ship called the Clear Air Turbulence picks up Bora Horza Gobachal, an agent of the Indiran Empire. This pen name was used to write about a post-scarcity society in the Hydrogen Sonata. Consider Phlebas and other novels in the Culture series, but it was not used to write The Crow Road or Wasp Factory. But I'm pointing out by this pen name that Ian Banks used to publish his sci-fi novels, which simply adds a middle initial to his real name.
Ian M. Banks?
You got it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is that spelled like my name too?
That's very entertaining.
Toss it three. This word precedes the claim that no man knows, not me, not you, how to get to goodbye, in a passage that ends, he rode hard, he stayed thirsty, he was the man, he was the man. Alexander realizes that this is the true name when he, his true name, when he learns that the universe began with the primordial light and that he needs to use hammers to awaken his 23,000 companions. This word precedes the words, they have to fuck with me, at the end of a boast about how a character made sashimi of some sea monsters. This is...
Is it Yo?
No.
Oh, what did they try to say?
This is the title of the first novel in Vladimir Sorokin's Ice Trilogy. At the beginning of a work by the author of The Mere Wife, this word proceeds, tell me we still know how to talk about kings. For points, name this word which Maria Davana Headley used to translate the opening word of Beowulf, what?
That's right.
Whoa.
Bro.
Oh, that's right.
Bro. toss up four. A photographer with the surname discovered the supermodel Iman in Nairobi in 1975, was once married to Gerald Teagues, and was found dead in Camp Hero State Park in 2020.
Oh, fuck.
Francis Bacon owned over 200 pictures by that photographer with the surname, whose book, The End of the Game, includes many photographs of dead elephants and other wild African animals. A scholar with the surname published a book titled How Do We Look that was adapted from a BBC reboot of Kenneth Clark's Civilizations.
Oh.
That scholar with the surname feuded with Nassim Nicholas...
Oh. Is it his beard?
Yes.
Okay.
What is it?
It's Mary Beard.
Beard.
I don't know.
Peter Beard.
Peter Beard. Yeah. He was like a... I was reading about him like on the internet extensively like 2 weeks ago, but I can't remember his name. He was on Jeffrey Epstein's planes, too.
Oh, boy.
Big friend of Jeffrey Epstein.
Toss up. Yeah. In 2019, this man selected Eduardo Galeano's Faces and Masks for the No Name Book Club. As a baby, this writer was asked, how you gonna do anything but rule, in a poem that Sterling Plump dedicated to him. This writer referenced the evolution of his style in lines like, don't call me brother no more, I keep my sentences short, and I redefine myself, first I had to find it. This writer's mother wrote the seminal critical race theory article.
Is it Earl Sweatshirt?
Yes.
Oh.
The son of Cheryl Harris.
Toss up. In a staging of a play set in this place, David Cromer included the smell of real bacon being fried. A news bulletin relates how a resident in this place named Chet Foster is presumed lost after his B-17 goes missing in a script stored in Yale's Benica Library. A parson from this place described a single soldier as just a speck in a little-known sequel that the creator of this town wrote for the Miami radio station WKAT. Ned Roram composed a sung-through opera set in this town. The standard script for the play that introduced this town was re-edited based on a Samuel French acting edition in the 1950s. The question, is there any cult...
Oh, shit. Grover's Corners?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice, good.
I thought I was wrong.
Toss up. Yasuko rallies a group of these people, telling them not to accept their lot in life at the end of Sion Sono's red post on Escher Street. A man endlessly climbs a staircase to success, never reaching the top, in a 1928 experimental film about one of these people who has the number 943.
It's an actor, an extra.
Power.
Sick buzz.
Great job.
Toss it. A miscommunication between this man and the Earl of Lucan led Lucan to be in Paris when this man expected to fight him in a duel over support of S.J.G. Calthorpe. This man notoriously flogged his regiment after an Easter Sunday church service. This aristocrat was routinely booed by theatergoers for an incident in which he was wrongly accused Captain Josh Reynolds of ordering black bottle of porter at a table that only allowed champagne. The Encyclopedia Britannica claims that this man spent $10,000 a year to make his regiment the smartest in the service. This man was made Inspector General of the Cavalry after being celebrated for his heroism in an 1854 battle. An item named for this man is taken off at the end of the episode.
Cardigan?
10 points.
Oh, yeah, so. Nice job.
Unfortunately, there's multiple people who have items named after them from that battle, but...
What has a cardigan removed at the end of each episode?
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be the
sure. I assume?
Yeah. That checks out.
I was buzzing more on the fact that there was an item than that it was knowing who it was.
That's great.
No, you're good. I don't know. You could tell me anything about history and I would believe you.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
All right. Sorry, I did not think through the fact that this is a really wacky tournament. Using TJ Sheets, like rather prescriptive rules about what tournament should be, including like having 5 players or like 24 questions and stuff. anyway, toss. This object was the main focus of the only known painting by the printmaker Ugo da Carpi, whose enigmatic signature may be a reference to the fact that he used his fingers to scratch out his mistakes. Heinrich Pfeiffer dubiously claimed to have found this object in the village of Manipello. Francesco de Zurbaran's early depictions of this object feature a pin at the bottom. In a later Zurbaran depiction, this object has a strikingly blotchy reddish ochre image on it. Russian paintings depicting this object often show a man with a forked beard and shoulder-length hair. This object is named after a woman whose name is probably a pun on a phrase meaning true image. But I'm going to name this relic that was supposedly...
Shroud of Turin?
No. That was supposedly miraculously imprinted with Christ's face when Christ wiped his sweat on it.
The Mandylion of Edessa?
No, it's the Veil of Veronica.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry,
guys. Wow. No, I wanted to make
another thing
to try that whole time.
You ready for the toss-up on the Mandarin
sure.
grilled cheese that's going to come out later this week?
Toss-up. A novel titled after this format, a writer named Daniel wakes up with total amnesia and the only clue to his identity is a work in this format. That hyper-maximalist 1,600-page novel titled for this format is by Matthew McIntosh. In another book whose title references this format, a character who is obsessed with Proust and Daniel Harms passes blue-black ice baths while flying through a crack in a glacier before arriving at a mental health clinic. Heracles appears as a war veteran known as Sad But Great in a book whose title references this format, the sequel to a verse novel based on the myth of Geryon. An eponymous format which inspired the title of Anne Carson's sequel to Autobiography of Red. Time.
Format a dialogue.
It's a .doc, a word document.
Oh wow!
Oh
yes.
Wow!
I've never heard of that.
What is it called? Do you know the Anne Carson title?
Yeah.
The Mystery .doc.
Yeah.
Or okay. Red doc.
I listened to a fucking podcast about that. I couldn't remember what it's called.
Yeah. Toss 11. Accompanied by an animal, the protagonist leaves a border town of this name and heads for Egalitaria at the end of Stephen Luke's philosophical novel, The Curious Enlightenment of Professor Caritat. A philosopher with the surname collaborated with Alberto Gubellini on an article defending afterbirth abortion, whose reception inspired her to co-found the Journal of Conservative Ideas. A figure of this name is mentioned immediately after a comment about when philosophy paints its gray in gray, and the preface...
a figure of this name, so Minerva.
Par.
Nice.
Is that the Journal of Controversial Ideas, or is that something else?
Oh, sorry. Transpose those words in my head.
The most conservative idea of all, after birth abortion.
toss up 12. Several of this person's designs, such as the Isis tripod, have been virtually reconstructed in 3D by the company Factum Arte. Chiwetel Ejiofor narrated an award-winning audiobook version of a novel named for this person, where a character named the Other carries a shining device and warns the protagonist to avoid a visitor to the house. The British Museum owns an enormous 2.7-meter-tall crater restored by this artist. This artist defended the merits of Roman art against Pierre-Jean Mariette, in part by distorting the perspective of etchings like Pyramid of Cestius to make the ruins look bigger. Chronic fatigue syndrome... Sorry, chronic...
It's Piranesi.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a Susanna Clark book.
What's the name of that guy whose his name is like Rome something? You know what I mean? Like, or like antiquity... He's like a name like Capability Brown, but...
80-10, you're thinking of like... Ruggiero the Ruins, maybe?
No, there's a British guy whose name is like, you know, he has a name exactly like Capability Brown, but it indicates that he really likes sketching like Roman runes.
That's not like Repair of the Ruins, but yeah.
There's a Stratus Smith who really likes rocks.
We'll figure it out.
All right, anyway, 80, 10, toss up 13. Toss up. The only current newspaper in this language has a name meaning hither like thither, a phrase which unusually has two double W's in it. Mark L. Loden's monograph on this language quotes H. L. Fisher, who translated The Raven into this language, as calling this language a superior blend of cream from two of the very best cows. This language has the greatest name recognition of the languages, which are preserved in an archive called the NAGDA, hosted by the Max Cade Institute. This language is closely related to a dialect spoken in the Palatinate region of a different country. Loden's book on this language award. For scholarship in Anabaptist and Pietist studies, in the subtitle of The Story of an American Language, Brennan points him as a variant of German spoken among Mennonite and Amish communities.
Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yes.
Sorry.
Spicy.
Yeah.
Also, an object name for this practice is frozen and watched by a creeping skeleton with lamp-like eyes in a poem about Bromion and Uthun that is often interpreted as a critique of this practice. A book title for this practice begins with a poem which describes how hungry clouds swag on the deep and claims that without contraries there is no progression. This practice is linked to a hearse and is and blighted by the youthful harlot's curse, according to the last stanza of William Blake's London. An anti-Swedenborgian book named for this practice includes commands like drive your plow over
this practice? Oh, marriage.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the marriage curse.
I forgot about that line.
Toss up. This is the number of screens in John Ackam Fra's video installation Vertigo C. The screen is divided into this many segments in the phone call scene in Louis Weber's 1913 film Suspense. One of the earliest uses is split screen. Abel Gance invented the Polyvision format, which simultaneously displays this many reels of film for the climax of his epic Napoleon.
Three.
Power.
Very nice.
Good fucking song for to go see somewhere.
Oh, no. Also, this technique is performed by the choirs at the very beginning of I Am, one of the indeterminate moments from Karl Heinz Stockhausen's Momenta. Kaplak is a type of this technique used in gamelan music. In another form of this music, the technique can be performed in the muffled Sordas style or the louder Fuertes style. In a piece titled for this technique, two people perform an African bell rhythm with one of them shifting the rhythm.
Clapping.
Yes,
okay.
Oh. Toss up. Lucien Dallenbach's book, The Mirror in the Text, notes that this author would write in front of a mirror and look up at himself after every sentence. Damien Searle's translation of a dizzyingly metafictional novel by this author, published by NYRB Classics in 2021, includes this author's own blurb, which says, "I don't understand a single thing in Marshlands. Did I write the book?" This author was the first to use the heraldic term mis en abim to refer to an artwork embedded in a similar artwork. This Nobel laureate fictionalized himself as Edvard, who is working on a novel with the same title as the novel in which he appears, in a book which also has a subplot about a ring of boys who circulate fake coins throughout the
place. Oh, wow. Andre Gide.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Very exciting.
Oh, the counterfeiters.
Yeah.
Toss up.
What do you do?
Note to players, specific term required. One of these artworks features an abacus, appears on the cover of Alison C. Rowland's poetry collection, Library of Small Catastrophes. Another of these works, included in the exhibition Meet Me at the Center of the Earth, mounts ceramic birds on small poles to form an inside-out birdcage. The creator of these works, who trained at the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, often makes them from materials such as human hair and sisal. Several of these objects were exhibited on...
Oh, are these the sound suits by Nick Cave?
Yes.
Oh, sweet. Oh,
wow, nice. Great job.
Very cool.
Toss up 19. While working with Schraff's restaurants, this celebrity made a commercial advertising an underground sundae with two groovy heaps of ice cream. The celebrity hired the lookalike Alan Midget to pose as him on the college lecture circuit. With two other people, including Sam Green, this man escaped out a window to avoid adoring fans at an overcapacity event starring this man staged at Philadelphia's ICA in 1965. Biographer Blake Gopnik records how this man made at least $200,000 from the Shah of Iran and met with Lenny Riefenstahl for a magazine he owned. This Diet Coke pitchman starred in the 200th episode of The Love Boat. A posthumous auction that included cookie jars used by this man was dubbed the Garage Sale of the Century by Time. Other objects of this man's are no longer authenticated by a Pittsburgh-based foundation named for him.
Andy Warhol?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. He's from Pittsburgh.
I was thinking that, yeah. Makes total sense. Very good, very good. Did it talk about his Big Mac? Or is it Big Mac or is it a Whopper?
I don't know.
Have you seen it? He has really good. He's really
advertised a lot of things.
Yeah.
A profile.
Can we get a score check if you wouldn't mind?
120.45.
And this is number 20 that we're going into? Thank you.
A profile of this author by John Nathan notes that his romance novels were published in magazines like The Housewife's Companion and that he designed the coffee table photo book Punishment by Roses. This author was billed as a modernism gorilla in a last debate with the All Campus Joint Struggle Committee depicted in a 2020 documentary. Stephen Dodd recently produced an English translation of the last of this author's Potboilers, a pulp novel originally published in Weekly Playboy titled Life for Sale. A character likely based on this author leads a group that sings a Bach chorale in a different author's novella, The Day He Himself Shall Wipe My Tears Away.
That's probably quite a couple of guys. Always
something. No. This author's Kaisha Kunin, a fellow member of the Shield Society, botched three attempts to kill this author in 1970 for 10 points. Famous Japanese author who committed seppuku after staging a failed coup.
Mishima.
Yes. We're still going. Toss up 21. An artist best known for making works in this material is the subject of the kids' book, A Life Made by Hand by Andrea de Aquino, and is also the subject of Marilyn Chase's monograph, Everything She Touched. The Venezuelan artist Gego is best known...
Like, fiber?
Okay. No. Is best known for a massive 1969 assemblage made of this material, which she repeatedly revised through the 1970s. An artist first experimented with baskets made from this material while at Black Mountain College in the 50s.
Okay.
In 2005, the DeYoung Museum received a donation of 15 sculptures made from this material by Ruth Asawa. This material was used to give Edgar Varese outrageous eyebrows and a portrait by a Paris-based American artist who also used to make acrobats. But at points, same as the material used by Alexander Calder for his circus.
Wire.
That's right.
I wrote a whole bonus about that, and then I forgot that it was about that and not textile.
I think I accidentally said, like, thread instead of wire for that.
It was like
Boston
ICT like 5 years ago or something. It mentioned both Gego and Ruth Asawa.
Toss-up. An allegorical novel titled For These Animals begins with a conversation between the American investor Sam and the Russian investors Arthur and Arnold, before all three investors are abruptly revealed to be the animals. A woodcutter casually shrugs off the death of a tramp in the epilogue of a play titled For These Animals. Victor Pelevin's follow-up to Oman Ra was a novel titled For the Life of These Animals. A man falls asleep in the woods and imagines various examples of these animals representing human characteristics like vanity in a 1922 play. An author collaborated with his brother Joseph on a play that likens residents of post-war Czechoslovakia to these animals. For in points, humans are compared to what type of animals in an allegorical play by Carl Kirsch? No.
spiders.
No, insects.
Insects, all right.
Yeah. Sorry, if Jordan could get
that. Is that like an insect?
I think so.
Yeah, it's probably an insect plant.
Yeah.
I've thought about that.
Yeah, I was too hung up on War with the Newts, too.
I had to remember for a second whether newts were insects.
Yeah.
The fashion designer Ted Tingling was accused of bringing sin and vulgarity to this profession by designing an outfit featuring visible lace-trimmed underwear. This profession's fashion was revolutionized in the 1920s by a woman who wore a signature bandeau and knee-length skirt designed by Jean Patou. Virgil Abloh designed the Queen Collection for a member of this profession. Jamie Schultz wrote about the production of blackness in an essay about a black cat suit worn by that member of this profession in 2002.
An actress.
No. A crocodile emblem was placed on the Polish shirt designed by a member of this profession, René Lacoste. But it was the same profession whose members are required to wear all white when competing at Wimbledon. Yes.
Yep. Oh yeah, Virgil Abloh. That was the thing where Serena had to have like her weird logo on her.
I
remember that now.
A poem titled "For This Form" discusses things I have wanted more than lovers and ends "Friended, thus I have let nothing pass." That Kay Boyle poem is titled "For This Form to the Sound of Zithers." Critics, including Louisa Mumford, have claimed that a poem with this title that opens "to have known him, to have loved him after loneless long" was about Nathaniel Hawthorne. That poem is by Herman Melville. Hart Crane's poem "At Melville's Tomb" states that this term
monody
power.
Oh, good.
Oh, no, sorry, 10. I said shall.
Oh,
you really needed that?
Yeah.
So final score is 130, 60.
Good game.
Good game.
In two. Oh, I lost.